All right, everyone. Good evening. It's so great to see you. If you would, let's all stand as we get ready to worship the Lord.
All of a sudden, I am alone. affections eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are, and your affections are for me.
Come on, sing it out.
Oh, how he loves us so.
Give God all the glory tonight.
Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 17. Tonight, Lord willing, we'll go verses 8 through 16. Who in here has ever gotten tired, weary, from working, whether it be in ministry, whether it be at your job? That's a feeling I think every single person in here has felt in some way or another. Some assignments, especially in the realm of the kingdom of God, are too important to abandon, but too heavy to carry all alone. I have this problem and have had for a long time, but I think I'm getting better. Does anybody in here consider faithfulness doing everything by yourself? Am I the only one? Okay. I got Brandon. Brandon agreed with me. That's the way that I felt growing up. If you can do it, do it. And carry it out and make sure it's done all the way through. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's hard work. That's dedication. But I've had to learn that sometimes in order to continue to be faithful in certain things, you've got to have a little help. You've got to have somebody come alongside of you, maybe somebody that's more talented. You think of a general contractor, they're not doing every aspect of building a house. I mean, they're reaching out to a good sheetrock guy, a good plumber guy, and together they build the house. His faithfulness in the general contract realm is in being able to get the right people in the right places to make the project go to completion. And I don't think ministry is any different. God has called all of us as a collection together. You can't do everything by yourself, nor can I. But together, as God has equipped us, if we're willing to work together, we can complete His plan. God carries out His work through dependent servants who faithfully support one another. In the passage tonight, let me give you a little context so that we can see the real beauty of it. Israel had recently been delivered from slavery out of Egypt. Y'all all know that story in the Bible. They had walked on dry ground through the Red Sea. Where they're at today, they had just drank water out of a rock. I don't know how often y'all have done that. I mean, God is doing amazing things for them. And as soon as, right after God does this miracle of providing water out of a rock, they're attacked by the Amalekites. They've got to respond. And that's where we're at today. In order to fight back, different people would have to do different assignments, but every assignment and every person would be needed. Our first truth is God's plan involves numerous people. Let's read verses 8 through the first part of verse 10. Then Amalek came and fought against Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, "Choose men for us and go out. Fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will station myself on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." Joshua did as Moses told him and fought against Amalek. Moses, the first thing that I appreciate this passage, he didn't try to do it all himself. He assigned Joshua to lead the battle. Moses assigned himself to stand on the hill because he had the staff of God. And he was going to go up there. Aaron and Hur would soon have their own assignments. And we'll get there in the next passage. Did we see Joshua accuse Moses of avoiding the fight? Did he immediately look at him and say, you're going to go up on the hill, but you're going to send me and my men in here to go hand-to-hand combat with these guys? No. Moses likewise didn't say, "Joshua, I don't think you're good enough to fight. I need to get in there and fight for you." He put the right people in the right places to fulfill the will of God. And each man accepted his responsibility given to him. God's work is not a one-person ministry. Blount Springs is not a one-person ministry. The ministry in Blount County is not about one person or Alabama or the United States or the world for that matter. It takes all of us filled with the Holy Spirit working together to fulfill God's will. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 14 says, "For the body is not one member, but many." And then when you go down to verse 18, it says, "But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He desired." So when I look at that verse, what does that tell me? It tells me that God is at the helm of putting people in the right places and giving them what they need to do things. But just like Joshua, we have to accept our assignment. One thing that has plagued me before, and it may be plaguing you tonight, something to think about, we often compare our assignment with somebody else's. And as soon as we start comparing what God has called us to do to somebody else, it takes our eyes off of what God has assigned us to do, and 9 times out of 10, it's going to lead us to a place of discontent and disgruntlement. And is that where God needs us? In neither one of those places. We either think our role is too small to matter, or assume our role matters more than everybody else's. That's where we go as humans when we start questioning God's assignment to us every single time. And we're not going to fulfill God's will if we're looking in either one of those directions. Are you faithfully doing what God has placed in your hands, or are you wasting time comparing your assignment to what you thought it should be or what it could be in your imagination? The question is not whether your assignment is noticeable. The question is whether you're faithful in it, whatever that may be. None of us should dismiss our places in God's work simply because it looks different from someone else's. Joshua's role mattered. Moses' role mattered. Aaron and Hur's, H-U-R, role matters. God uses different people in different places to accomplish His work. Our second truth is God's plan requires us to work together. And this is really why I wanted to preach this passage tonight, because, guys, you may have come in here tired tonight. You may be fixing to get tired in the future. And I think this is an inspirational passage, whether you're super strong tonight or whether you're super weak tonight. There's something for every single one of us tonight as we seek to minister for God. And in these short verses, 10b through 13, I'm going to read them. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. So it came about when Moses held his hand up that Israel prevailed. And when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. Then they, Aaron and Hur, took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on the one side and one on the other. Thus his hands were steady until the sun set. So Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. That's a beautiful picture on top of that hill. When Moses held up his hands, Israel prevailed. When his hands came down, Amalek prevailed. What was in Moses' hands? It wasn't that he just had 5 fingers or he had a big old special pretty hand. What was in his hand? The staff of God was in his hand. It wasn't Moses. It was God's power represented in that staff. Israel's victory depended on the Lord. Joshua was down there fighting along with all those other men, but God gave the victory. But notice that Moses' hands were heavy. How long can y'all hold y'all's hands up like this without falling down, without letting them fall? You think you can make it a minute? Lactic acid travels to your shoulders muscles about as fast as anything. I was talking to Dwayne a little bit ago. He is putting in some fence posts. Anybody ever drove fence posts with one of those? How many, or post hole diggers, that's another great one. How long do you last with fence post drivers and post hole diggers? You over there needing a break, you leaning up on them because the light to head. So I resonate with Moses up there as he's trying to hold this staff up. And he's seeing the power of it. God's using it when it's up. And you imagine the mental weight of that. Man, I got to keep this thing up. They get beat every time I take a break. I got to get it back up. Moses was still human. Weariness is not always evidence of unfaithfulness. He was doing his best up there on that mountaintop. Weariness sometimes is the result of sustained faithfulness. Sometimes your hands are heavy because you've been holding them up for a long time. Did Aaron and Hur criticize Moses on top of that mountain when he dropped his hands? Did they come up and say, Moses, get it together, man. You're going to have to push through it. We can't win unless you lift that staff back up. Get your hands up. I can't believe you're supposed to be the leader of Israel and you can't keep your hands up for a couple of hours. What are you doing, Moses? We're going to lose. I don't see them say that at all. I wasn't on the mountain that day, but I figured they would have captured that for us. What did they do? They thought about what they could do to support this ministry, this battle for the Lord. They go get him a stone to sit on because he'd been standing there. Sit down right here. Take a seat. Hold the staff up. And Aaron's on one side. Hur's on the other, holding his hands up. And so we now have three men working together to accomplish God's will. Which one was the most important? Does it matter? It doesn't matter. They were doing what needed to be done to fulfill God's will. As Christians today, is it any different? Thousands of years later, are we any different today, or should we be doing the same thing? Should we be coming alongside of each other the best that we can to hold each other's hands up, metaphorically? Or should we be criticizing all of us, our fellow Christians, should we criticize them when they fall short? Well, I can't believe you couldn't do this week. Well, I couldn't believe you couldn't be there. I couldn't believe that you didn't go over there and do that. It's so easy to criticize, but it's so difficult to stop what you're doing and come over there and give somebody a rock to sit on and grab their arm and hold it up and stand there with them until the battle's over. I'm not great at it, but I'd like to be. I think God's mission would go a lot better if that's the attitude we had. Faithfulness is not proved by never becoming tired. Sometimes faithfulness means admitting that your hands are heavy and allowing others to help you. I've got to get better at that. I don't like to ask for help. Is that a man thing? I'm not real sure. I don't like to tell anybody that I need any help. But sometimes, let's just be honest, whether you're a man or a woman, a child, I need some help sometimes. Does anybody else need some help? Yes. And so this is twofold. Part of it may be tonight, not that you're unwilling to help or not that you think that you... It may be that you need to be willing to ask somebody else for help. Say, hey, I need the stone. If you can find it, like, I'm getting tired of standing here. Can you get me a stone? Do you mind holding my hand up for a little bit? That also takes energy and a little bit of humility, too, to ask somebody to help hold your hands up. It's twofold, though. Twofold. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. The night that we cooked all the barbecue for the youth, I don't know if any of y'all donated one of those coolers or saw those coolers, but once they put all those Boston butts and all those ribs in them coolers, do you know what they became? Very heavy. There was a lot of meat in those coolers. And you know, I still like to think I got it. Bend over there, big boy. Get up. You man enough to pick the cooler up. And man, you know, about one time, I was still good for maybe one. But you know what's a lot easier to carry that cooler from the barbecue grill to the back of pickup truck that we had sitting there? You know what made it a lot easier? When one man got on one handle and I got on the other and we picked it up and carried it together. Our ministry should be no different. Ministry is a lot easier when one person grabs one side of the handle and one person grabs the other. Some of us, me included, will let our hands fall before we ever let anybody know we're struggling. We fear that asking for help will make us look weak. But the question that I have for myself, if I'm struggling as the pastor of this church and I never let any of y'all know it, how can you help me? Are you just going to have a premonition? I think Brother Philip is struggling. That brother needs some help. I mean, you might be thinking that, and I do need some help and your prayers. But I can't get upset at any one of you if I am struggling and I never let any of you know. Is that fair? Should I be mad at you? No. Likewise, should you be mad at me? Or one of the deacons, or the Sunday school teacher, anybody else? If we take nothing out of this tonight, me first, you second, if we're struggling, we gotta let each other know. Whose hands are growing heavy around you as well? The church should be a place where people can admit they're tired without being treated like they failed. If your hands are heavy, ask for help. Bring the stone, stand beside them, help hold their hands steady. Our third truth is God's victories are worth remembering. Let's read 14 through 16. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this in a book as a memorial and recite it to Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek under heaven. Moses built an altar and named it, the Lord is my banner. And he said, the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war against Amalek from generation to generation. Israel could win the battle and still lose the lesson if they forgot who gave them the victory. Who gave them the victory that day? Moses? Aaron? Hur? Joshua? Soldiers? No. God gave the victory. And Moses knew that. God told Moses to write down what happened and repeat it to Joshua. Why? Because Moses' days were numbered. And guess who was going to take over? Joshua. And guess what Joshua needed to remember? He needed to remember a time that the Lord was faithful. Why is that important? Why is it important for each and every one of us tonight to also remember a time when God was faithful in our life? Because you're going to go through a season. It may be soon, it may be far away, but you're going to go through a season that's going to be difficult. God's going to seem far away. You may enter into a season of doubt, discouragement, all those things. And one thing that's helpful in those times is to go back and remember when God was faithful. One thing that we can do, and y'all know this, I'll tell you again, I do not have a good memory. God just didn't give it to me. I don't know. So if you're like me and you don't have a good memory, what's something that you can do? What's a couple of little things that you can do to write down and remember those victories for your hard days when you need to flip back? One thing I'd encourage you to do, this is super practical. I hope you're always going to carry this and have this with you. This is a good place to write down those times that God's been faithful. And when you're in God's Word and you're having one of those days, flip to it. Maybe write it right there in the front. And just write down, today God delivered this. Today God met me here. And then go back and read it. Moses didn't want Joshua to forget. And I don't want to forget either. Because those days are not fun to go through. Remembering God's past faithfulness gives us courage for future battles, and those battles are coming. Are you tired because you're trying to worship and serve God alone? Some of you may be standing, serving, trying to remain faithful, but your hands are heavy. The question may not be, why am I tired? The better question may be, why am I trying to carry what God never asked me to carry alone? Others of you may be Aaron or Hur in this passage. God has placed someone near to you and given you the ability to hold their hands up tonight. Maybe you need to be prepared for that. The church is not a room filled with people pretending to be strong. Or is it? Are we just pretending to be strong and feeling the negative side effects of pretending? Maybe tonight needs to be the night that we say, I'm not strong. And I need somebody to come alongside of me to make me strong. The church should be a body in which each member supplies to the best of their ability what others need. If your hands are heavy, let someone help you. And likewise, if you have the ability, help someone beside you that's struggling. The deepest problem that we have cannot be overcome with teamwork, though. The salvation problem can only be fixed by Jesus Christ. Amen. And if tonight you came this way and you're struggling beyond what we're talking about tonight, I just, as one of his team members, I want to encourage you to trust Jesus Christ tonight through faith and confession, if you've never done that. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You don't merely need to try harder. You need to turn from your unbelief and turn to belief in Jesus Christ and be part of that victory that he's already made possible. So when your hands grow heavy, do not abandon the assignment and do not pretend you're stronger than you are. Let God's people help hold you steady. And when the victory comes, do we need to just say, oh, I'm glad that's it. What's the next thing? What can we do now? When God does give the victory, whether it's you personally or somebody that you're helping, we need to always give God the glory for that victory that he made possible.